Turning now to Nicola, our reading of Margaret Cheney's Tesla, Man Out of Time. And we must never forget that when Nikola Tesla demonstrated his amazing gifts, from that moment forward, and I'm not just talking when he demonstrated robotics at Madison Square Garden, to envision the distribution system of electricity for all that alternating current meant. His gifts have been so huge, massive. They were evident long before, or substantially before, he blew people's minds with the, you know, unmanned craft setting off and being returned and releasing torpedoes that returned on their own. I mean, as soon as Nikola Tesla showed his stuff, the power guys were all over him. And after demonstrating robotics, and then after bringing all their best electrical engineers and who knows what not, convening them at Nikola's space in Manhattan and picking his brain and grabbing all they could from his amazing contributions. We know exactly how these guys think, whether it was evident to Margaret or not, I don't know. But we know when he demonstrated robotics and established the feasibility of wireless transmission of electricity through his, on a small scale, models of it, and that includes the weaponization of EMF. They were determined to have those gifts and not Nikola. They kept him in the dark while they grabbed and further developed his arts. Continuing with Chapter 17, The Great Radio Controversy, Leland Anderson points out that some have confused the argument with respect to the principles of transmission and reception of radio signals with a matter of transmitting voice, an important improvement made practical by DeForest's Audion, or triode vacuum tube. Quote from Leland Anderson, in a discussion of priority in the invention of radio, one must be very specific about definitions, he writes. In the case of the Marconi Wireless Telegraph Company of America versus United States, which was decided June 21, 1943, against the Marconi Company and striking down the fundamental Marconi patent, the following definitions evolved out of the exhaustive depositions taken from many technical experts in the fields of radio and the physical sciences. A radio communication system requires two tuned circuits each at the transmitter and the receiver, all four tuned to the same frequency. The definition does not embrace variable modulation that DeForest's Audion provided and through which the transmission and reception of voice and music was made possible. It does not address the mode of electromagnetic propagation, that is, ground wave and or sky wave, and the effect of the former on the latter. It does, however, implicitly describe the deliberate selective transmission at a specific frequency and the selectable reception at the same frequency, at that same frequency. Unquote from Leland Anderson. Marconi's original patent application was filed on November 10, 1900 and was rejected on the prior art disclosed by Sir Oliver Lodge. Tesla's first patent was granted in 1898. Moreover, Tesla was specific as to which of his patents were directed to wireless power transmission as opposed to signal transmission, although this appears to have confused some of the critics of his radio patents. The U.S. Supreme Court found that Tesla's patent number 645576 applied for September 2nd, 1897, and allowed March 20th, 1900, anticipated the four-circuit tuned combination of Marconi. Tesla, long before anyone else, published in Electrical World and Engineer, March 5th, 1904, what has always stood out as the clearest statement by any pioneer working in the wireless art of what radio was to become and as we know it today. He envisioned the entire concept of transmission of intelligence, not just the sending of a single message from one point to another, and he alone, let me read that again more clearly, he envisioned the entire concept of transmission of intelligence, not just the sending of a single message from one point to another, and he alone of the pioneers in radio did so. Tesla said his world telegraphy constitutes, and let me start that again because this is a quote from Nikola Tesla. Nikola Tesla said that his, quote, world telegraphy constitutes, I believe, in its principle of operation, means employed, and capacities of applications, a radical and fruitful departure from what has been done before. I have no doubt that it will prove very efficient in enlightening the masses, particularly in still uncivilized countries, and I have to interject, i.e. free from the contagion of class, and so still free. Those who have much to teach, as we mutually reach out to each other, share our lives and love and listening. Continuing with Nikola Tesla, and less accessible regions, and that it will add materially to general safety, comfort, and convenience, and maintenance of peaceful relations. It involves the employment of a number of plants, all of which are capable of transmitting individualized signals to the uttermost confines of the earth. Each of them will be preferably located near some important center of civilization, and the news it receives through any channel will be flashed to all points of the globe. A cheap and simple device, which might be carried in one's pocket, may then be set up anywhere on sea or land, and it will record the world's news or such special messages as may be intended for it. Thus, the entire earth will be converted into a huge brain, capable of response in every one of its parts. Since a single plant of but 100 horsepower can operate hundreds of millions of instruments, the system will have a virtually infinite working capacity, and it must needs immensely facilitate and cheapen the transmission of intelligence. And I did not interject that, but I feel like I must. It is unclear from just that quote that when he is describing his world system of telegraphy, whether or not he is simultaneously including his concept of wireless transmission of electricity. Something we should think more about as we think about applying his gifts to the infrastructure of freedom. Continuing with Margaret, these ideas were discussed by him in Century Magazine in June 1900, following his return from Colorado.